Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to Defined by Moments, and we're just thrilled that you're back with us as we're looking into this continued series called Shepherd Leadership. You know, the 23rd Psalm is one of the most beloved passages of Scripture, and that has really been our focus so far. And, you know, in verse 1, we've looked at the aspect of, you know, servant leadership being contrasted with shepherd leadership. But we've talked about how there is clear ownership. There's this aspect of surrender where David, this king, says, "The Lord is my shepherd," meaning that he is a sheep. We've also talked about the satisfaction that comes from that surrender. But then, you know, we also turn to how there is a strain and there is a shadow of leadership. And as we looked at this, we saw all that the shepherd does for the sheep, which is a reminder to us that this passage is not so much about the sheep and their experience as it is about the shepherd and what he does for the sheep. Now we're going to turn to verse 4, and we're going to wrap up that verse. But like we have done with all others in this series, we're going to read the entire 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we look at the middle part towards the end of verse 4, I want to start with that phrase, "For you are with me." We're going to look at the structure. And if we are going to make sure that we are with our shepherd, then we've got to make sure that there are several things that we know and understand. The first is we have to go back to verse 1. Where David in this opening passage says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is surrendering himself to the leadership of the shepherd. For us to be able to say that this shepherd is with us, then quite frankly, that means we have to surrender to his leadership. This really means that we are being led. It means that we have to take a long, hard look in the mirror and admit something that we don't like to. And what is that aspect? If we are going to be in the presence of the shepherd, we have to avoid our tendency to wander. You know, if you go to another familiar passage of the Old Testament that is often referenced back to sheep, Isaiah 53, what does verse 6 say? You know, the prophet Isaiah is writing, he says, we in essence are all like sheep, and what do? We have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. That is our natural tendency. And it goes back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment. And they both made choices to break the relationship with God. And we do that every single day. So even though we see David talking about how he's comforted because that the shepherd is with him, he is also by default acknowledging that he has a tendency to wander. Now, how do I arrive at that conclusion? Well, quite frankly, we need to look at the latter part of the verse. He says, "For your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, here's the amazing part of this. We have talked about all that the shepherd does, but now we are given two very specific tools that the shepherd uses. And it's those tools that we need to look at in order to understand how we have the tendency to wander and have the tendency to fall apart. So let's look at the first one. This one that says a rod, that this in essence is a long defensive weapon that's used to protect against the enemy. It is a club. It is a thick stick that if a predator comes, roaming into the sheepfold, then the shepherd is going to grab that and absolutely bludgeon that predator with it. That's important for us to know and understand, because it means that the shepherd has to take action in order to protect us. And if we're going to be leaders, then we have to be proactive. We have to be willing to take action, to step into danger in order for the benefit of our people that follow us. You know, we often think of things in Scripture, hey, it's mentioned here, and that's really the only place that it is, but no. Let's back up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the passage where David is going to end up killing Goliath with 5 stones in a little sling. But as he is talking to Saul, and he is stating his case for why he is the one that should be allowed to go and attack this giant Philistine, verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion, a bear, and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him,'" here's the phrasing, "'and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him.'" So what we're seeing in this aspect is that this weapon is defensive, but it very well could be turned into an offensive weapon if the necessity arose. So we see a tool of the shepherd. But let's look at the second one here. So it's not only your rod, but it's also your staff. Now this is the more well-known imagery of the shepherd's crook. This would have been a much longer wooden implement. It would have had that curvature at the end, and it was also used for protection. But more importantly, and this is where this becomes important for us to see, particularly with the tendency that sheep have, the tendency that we have to walk astray, this implement was also used for correction. What that would simply mean is that you would have an opportunity to see a sheep that is starting to wander off the path, and you as the shepherd grab that crook and reach out and kind of scoop him and pull him back in. So this is an aspect of rescue as well. If a sheep had slipped over the edge because he was no longer following the shepherd, then that shepherd would be able to leave or to lean over the edge and use that crook to potentially get a hold of the sheep and help him move its way up that ledge to safety. So this aspect of the rod and the staff, they are very important as implements for the shepherd. But I love this last phrase. It says, "For your rod," this weapon of offense or defense, "as well as your staff," which is used for correction, what does it do? "They comfort me." Think about that. There's this aspect of comfort that comes from these implements. Now, we gloss over this and we don't understand it because we miss the cultural context. But let's go back to this club, this defensive weapon that could be used offensively if needed, as we referenced in 1 Samuel 17, the rod. There was actually a process that was called rodding the sheep. And in fact, if you go to Leviticus 27, specifically verse 32, you will see this referenced. But what this process was is, the shepherd would lead his sheep to a fold. That was often as much as possible an enclosed area. It could be walled. It could be some thorns that he had, mounted into, in essence, a barbed wire fence that would have an entryway that he would guard. But as the sheep would come through, he would hold that rod at a specific height, that as each sheep went underneath it, they could feel that rod as they went into the sheep pen. And he would also use that to count off the sheep. So one, it's helping him to be able to make sure he has them all. But number two, it was giving them comfort. Think about your children. I've got a little bit over a 2.5-year-old, and he has a little puppy dog that he has to sleep with every single night. It gives him that comfort. And for the sheep that would become used to that at night, that they would, as they were going into the pen, they would feel that rod that would assure them and cause them to be calm. Stop and think about what God does for us whenever we go through the process that we have been stubborn and He has to correct us. When we feel that rod of correction from the shepherd's crook. Or as we're coming into the pen and we just know He's there, it's been a long, hard day. That offers a measure of comfort. So here we have the shepherd serving the sheep with these implements. But you know, there is even something else here that's not specifically mentioned, but we need to step back and think about it. So we have this process of rodding the sheep where they receive some comfort. And we're going to talk about that crook where it offers correction, because there would be times that you would have a wayward sheep that would refuse to learn from those mistakes, that would refuse to learn from that crook reaching out and pulling the sheep back in. And it would force the shepherd to do something extreme. And sometimes a shepherd would have to take that crook and break the leg of that sheep. And what that would then mean is that sheep would no longer be able to wander on their own power. But after that pain of that broken leg, the shepherd would tend to it. He would splint it and mend it. He would care for that sheep. And wherever they went, he would carry that sheep on his back. Why? What is taking place here? It's building a bond that for whatever reason has been broken between the shepherd and the sheep. Now stop and think about that in the total amazement of what God did for us. He sent us a lamb in His Son Jesus Christ, and He broke that lamb in order to provide an access and a waypoint for us to be able to find Him. The imagery here is not necessarily intended, but it is amazing to step back and ponder. So think about this from the perspective of leadership. If you have someone that you have not yet been able to connect to, what are you doing to build that bond intentionally? What are you doing? Are you always constantly reaching out in correction? Are you doing something to force the creation of that relationship? So we see that the shepherd has a very structured pattern to bring comfort to the sheep, to protect them from predators, to give them comfort when they come into the sheepfold, to offer correction when they decide to wander astray, or to build a relationship that for whatever reason may seem to be broken. So as we wrap up this shorter section in Psalm 23, there are a couple of lessons that I want to put out on the table for you. Number one, correction is how we grow. We don't like someone to come alongside us and go, you know what, you didn't do that right. Or, hey, you made this mistake. We don't like that. Our pride will swell within us, and we will want to push back and say no. We'll want to argue for our position. But what does David say in Psalm 23:1? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I surrender to His leadership. I surrender to follow Him. He has swallowed his pride." Which means when that pride rears its ugly head and he decides to wander off as a sheep and the Lord brings him back in, he accepts it. But there's a second part to this. That when we're corrected, it should bring us comfort. Why? Because it shows that the shepherd loves us, that the shepherd is pursuing us, that the shepherd is always looking after us. You know, we as parents have a tendency to get frustrated. You know, with my own four children, there are times that they just drive me crazy and they do something and I want to look the other way. I just completely want to forget it and move on and just let it go. But sometimes we cannot, because what we ignore today becomes normal tomorrow. Which means we have to address it, which means we have to exert that correction in order to redirect them, because we love them. We want what's best for them. If we don't want what's best for them, we'll just allow them to do whatever they want. And then that means that we are not being shepherd leaders. So correction is how we grow. When we're corrected, it should give us comfort because we know that we are loved And then finally, a hurt from a lesson is a harbinger of life. Now you're thinking, Joel, that kind of sounds weird. It does. I'll make it a little bit more simple. The pain that you experience proves that you're alive. You know, it's very difficult for us to understand that. We want pain to go away, but it's in the pain that where we exhibit and we experience and we develop our strength. So the question that I'm going to put to you as we wrap this up is very simple. Are you surrendered to the shepherd? If you cannot say in your heart of hearts, for you, the shepherd, for you are with me, that means that you have wandered. And how do you get back to the shepherd? So once again, the latter part of verse 4 here in Psalm 23, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.